December can make a mess out of your finances. Even if you don't go big celebrating the holiday season, there's the fact that the weather's generally colder, so you're probably paying more to keep warm. And then if you do buy lots of gifts and other December goodies, well, you might become acquainted or further acquainted with the debt monster. That's the creature Mark Brower discusses in his public talks. He's a certified financial planner working at the Prosperity Center at Goodwill in Eugene. He'll be giving a talk tomorrow evening at 5:30 at the library in Eugene, and he joins us now. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Jeffrey. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Well, really great. It's great to be with you.
I get the sense from various news reports that Americans tend to have large amounts of personal debt. I imagine you see that in your own work, too.
Yeah, we see a lot of personal debt come through this place, and it's pretty typical. Advertisements are everywhere, and of course they're telling you we're the best place to spend your money.
Well, so let's talk about approaching it. Well, we can talk about the general stuff, but I want to zero in specifically first on this time of year. I mean, is this a time of year when people do tend to get themselves a bit further in debt with the old, hey, it's Christmas, sort of reasoning?
Well, you know, it's a time when you want to give. And when you want to give, there's lots of people that want to help you do that. And in the process, oftentimes we have something called spontaneous sales that happen where people find things that they think are really great for other people that are special, and they just buy them.
Okay, so let's talk about the approach then. I mean, what are some of the things you advocate for people as they move a little further into December, as the date of December 25th and the pressure increases?
Oh, sure. One of the things that I suggest is that people take charge of their money. The best way to do that is to step back a second and take a look at what you're doing and how you want to do it. Determine how much money you want to spend, and then kind of begin a process of setting up yourself for success in that area, which means putting together a budget that includes all the gifts that you'd like to make, and then going into the marketplace looking at that number and buying accordingly.
So it sounds like you're expecting people to be, or requesting, or suggesting, I should say, that they need to be fairly hard-nosed about this. If you set a budget and the prices you're seeing aren't matching up with that, move on and find something else.
Well, yeah, that's a good idea. The problem that you have oftentimes is that you haven't thought about how much you're going to spend. And so when you go on a buying spree, what you do is you buy things that would be of interest to you. And what's interesting at stores is there is an escalation in interest. In other words, they'll give you a loss leader, and then they'll give you something that's even a little bit better, and then something that's a little better than that, and pretty soon you're spending double what you're planning on spending. If you're in control of your money situation, you know how much you can spend. And so that spiraling out of control price increase is mitigated.
Is it a price increase on a single item, Mark, or just a different item of higher quality?
Oftentimes it is a different item of higher quality or more flash or something like that.
So they get you in the door with the so-called loss leader,
yeah.
The one that they can afford to let go for a small amount, but then like, well, this one's a little better, though.
There you go, and you might want to try this one because this one's really good.
Look at all the features this one has.
There you go. Yeah.
We're going to go into sales, you and I.
It sounds like you've been there before, yeah.
Yeah, on both ends of it. Yeah. Mark Brower is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a certified financial planner working with the Prosperity Center at Goodwill in Eugene. We're talking about the debt monster. His talk tomorrow night at 5:30 at the Eugene Library is about dealing with the debt monster. Preview right now, and you can join the conversation on the exchange with your questions about seasonal debt and debt generally. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So it sounds like you recommend budgeting the rest of the year, too, that rather than getting surprised, figure out what you got coming in and what you can afford to spend.
Well, that's the way you can control your money, and I suggest to people that they do control their money. The other thing that people ought to remember is your money is your money, and you have a right to decide how you're going to use it. So spend some time thinking about it, and then the budget can be the bad guy. Oftentimes when I walk into a store and somebody has something that appeals to me, my question to them is, you know, I don't have any money in my budget for this month, but if you can convince me that it's good enough, I'll put it in the budget for next month. How's that? And oftentimes that's helpful. It's very helpful to me And the individual now knows that I have plans, and therefore, if they're going to be part of my plans, they have to work with me. And that's very helpful.
Interesting. So you're not the one actually saying no. You're just saying no now. Because my budget. I have to refer to my budget.
That's right. And understand that budgets are always wrong. They're just guesses. You know, we're guessing how much we're going to spend over the Christmas or the holiday season. And what's real is the money we actually spend, which is cash flow. So having a good budget sets you up for success with your cash flow, because now you know about what you want to spend, and you can tailor your spending habits in a way that will make you successful as far as cash flow goes.
So, Mark, I wonder, when we talk about cash flow, I mean, fewer people use cash over time. There's lots of research to indicate that. Are there particular approaches you recommend for how people should pay? I mean, debit cards certainly make it easy. Checks make it one step harder. Cash makes it a little harder still because you have to go get the cash, that kind of thing. I would just wonder if you have any particular thoughts on that.
Well, it depends on the individual. I've done this a lot, and I hear an awful lot of people. Fewer and fewer people are interested in carrying a lot of money around, you know, cash. So usually they carry debit cards and credit cards. Understand that debit cards are your money, so when you use a debit card, you're literally withdrawing your money and giving that to somebody else. Credit cards are somebody else's money, and so when you are using a credit card, what you're doing is you're using somebody else's money, and you're going to pay them back. If you do that within, you know, the grace period, you're in a situation where you don't pay any interest usually. But if you kind of put it off and pay over several months, you end up accumulating a debt that costs a little bit of money. And so best way to do it, you know, debit card or cash, simply due to the fact that that's your money, and when you spend it, you know, and it's gone, it's done. Credit cards tend to be a little trickier because they're easy to use, and they're somebody else's money, and that's usually a little more expensive.
So let's get a little further into credit cards, because we obviously get lots of offers. I mean, you probably heard the stories many times over about people who got credit card applications in the name of their dogs and stuff like that, and actually got the credit cards in some cases. When you see these offers, which should you seriously consider and which should go straight to the recycle bin?
Well, one thing you want to take a look at is what the cost of the money is going to be. Costs come in many forms. They can come in fees. They can come in interest rates. They can also come in costs for going over your limit or paying late. And they can also go and interest rates can also change based on your performance if the performance is poor. In other words, you don't pay on time or things like that. So you want to take a look at the back side of the statement. Oftentimes there is a detailed explanation of what the card will do for you, and you can take a look at what the fees will be, what the interest rates will be, also what the interest rates will be if you don't meet all the requirements of the card. Look at that one for sure, because if you make a mistake, you could end up with that fee, and those can be sizable interest rates.
I wonder in particular about that over-limit fee. We had a discussion just last week about some of the quirks in the modern justice system that we still have de facto debtor's prisons for some folks.
Yeah.
So in this case, though, you're basically getting dinged because you spent too much money. Therefore, we're going to charge you a higher fee.
That's correct. And different cards deal with this differently. Oftentimes you see a card saying, well, we won't charge you for being over your limit. The question is, could I have some specifics in that regard? Because they may not charge you in the first month, but they may charge you in the second, or they may raise interest rates. It's hard to tell. It's based on a contract, and each individual card has their contract. So you have to take a look at the contract pretty closely to understand exactly what you're getting.
Mark, do you recommend a number of credit cards to keep, or a number to keep down to, so that you don't get buried by bills every month?
Well, it would be good if you didn't have to have any. That would be great. I mean, that's ideal. I keep one. The reason I keep it is because I travel, and when I travel, It makes it a lot easier to get rental cars and those kind of things. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't. I wouldn't use it. Also, in the event that you do have credit cards, it's best to pay them off within one pay period, so that you don't have interest accumulation. People ask me about credit reports and credit scores and how you should deal with your credit cards so that you get a better credit score. Credit scores are really designed to help you to help banks and other collectors understand your payback habits. And a higher credit score simply means that you're better at paying things back in the way that the lender would like. So if you pay back over a period of time, that means the lender is going to make some more money, and that's good for them. So your credit score will go up if you pay on a regular basis and you pay on time. My personal opinion is that people should use their own money if they can, and if you don't have enough money to use your own money, oftentimes you put yourself in a position where you owe somebody. And when you owe somebody, that can be expensive as time goes on. So I would limit the amount of liability that you have, and then that you have a potential of having, and then also limit the amount that you actually use. Credit scores are based on how much of your available credit you use, and if you use only 10% or less, it will really help your credit score.
So let me understand something you said, though. I mean, if you pay more than the minimum every month, but you're still maintaining a balance on a credit card, are you going to end up getting a better credit score than somebody who just pays it off?
Yes, you will. And the reason for it is you're paying interest.
So that makes you attractive to the lenders.
That's right. And that's what the credit score is really all about, is to help lenders understand who would be the best person to lend money to.
Wow, that really opened my eyes. Mark Brower is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a certified financial planner at Prosperity Center in Goodwill in Eugene. He'll be speaking tomorrow at 5:30 at the Eugene Library on this very subject, dealing with the debt monster. You can join us now, 800-838-3760, with questions, comments, and observations, 800-838-3760, or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's John in Ashland. Hi, John.
Hi. I don't want to encourage people to overspend or anything of that sort. Your guest mentioned kind of casually that if he's traveling, he has a credit card. Well, I bought an airline ticket for one of my children once, and the flight was canceled, and I was able to get the money back because the credit card, they don't have to pay for something that wasn't delivered. And so it was no problem. The credit card just got it back. But she had bought another ticket with a check, and she never could get that money back from the airline. So my question is, there is a lot of value to a credit card, both for the convenience and for the protection that they provide you. And I don't work for a credit card company or anything. I've just had the experience that there is some value, and I'd like to, would encourage people to have one and use it judiciously because it's so much a part of our economy now.
All right. Fair question. Thanks for that, John. Appreciate it. Mark?
Yeah, thanks, John. I agree with you. I really do think that credit cards do make life easier in many cases. Just understand that there's a cost for that easiness. And also, when you're talking about airline tickets, it just makes it better, it seems to me, to use a credit card oftentimes and then pay it back, over a period of time that fits your schedule and budget. Well said.
We're talking about debts, more specifically about credit cards at the moment, but can people eliminate debt entirely?
Oh, yes. Debt is something that you can eliminate. Oftentimes what you've got to do is you need to be in a position where you can save enough money so that you don't have to rely on those types of things. And that means that you have to set up a savings program as well as a budget, which means that you have to pay yourself first. When you pay yourself first, what you're simply doing is you're setting money aside before you begin the process with anybody else. And when you do that, what you're doing is you're building reserves that allow you to become your own lender at that point. So you can you can do the things that you want to do with your own money, and that makes that sets up a different dimension at that point. And then you can have credit cards and not worry about them because you've got enough money to cover them. It gives you all kinds of options that you otherwise wouldn't have. So I oftentimes, when I'm talking with people, talk about save some money, because those that save have, and those that don't won't.
So, how hard and fast should the rules be about what you will dip into the savings account for?
It all depends on who you are and how you work. What I usually suggest to people is have a savings that's yours. And nobody else touches it, and it's your opportunity money, and that's just for you. Second amount would be for an emergency, and those emergencies can be, things that just pop up. I wouldn't say that a car repair or car tires are necessarily an emergency. I would suggest that you put them in your budget as a deferred expense, because sometime in the future you're probably going to have something go wrong, and when you have something go wrong, having a pot of money specifically set aside for it really makes sense.
You're big, Mark, on prioritizing debt. So here's an example. Now that we're talking about savings, I mean, if you're thinking, well, I can pay a little more than the minimum, but not the whole credit card this month, without dipping into savings. Given that, I mean, what you make on savings versus what you'll pay on the credit card, should you just take the money out of savings and pay the credit card?
That's a real dilemma, and it really does is based on your personal preference. What I usually tell people is always have some savings. And pay as much as you feel comfortable paying as far as the debt goes.
All right, Mark Brower is a certified financial planner at the Prosperity Center at Goodwill in Eugene. He'll be speaking about dealing with the debt monster tomorrow evening at 5:30 at the Eugene Library. Mark, thanks so much for joining us for a preview today.
Oh, thank you so much for allowing me.
All right, pleasure. Take care.